You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Anyway, He is the leader of the church. He is. We give Peter and Paul a lot of airtime because they wrote a lot of the New Testament, and Luke as well wrote lots. But James is actually the boss back here. God's the boss, but James is the leader of the church. And he writes this one book with five chapters, and it's packed with wisdom, packed with understanding. It's like Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, condensed into all these things. So that's where we are in for the month of November. We're in the book of James. So do take the time to read it through yourself. It'll take you about 10 minutes. But if you read it and digest it and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through it, you'll find that there's so much wisdom and counsel in there. So really quickly, let's zoom through some key parts of this message that I feel is on my heart. And it is this: it is to heal the heart and tame the tongue. That's the title of this message. It's to heal the heart, then you'll tame the tongue. Or I have a subtitle in mind, which is not up on the screen: fix it to zip it. Two people laughed. Come with me to James 3. Let's look at what the word says. James 3 verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." James is saying we're all fallen, hey. We've all got problems. That's nothing new. Sometimes we see the church and we think, why are there so many problems in the church? Well, hello, we're people. You know, why do things happen? Why do people get hurt? Why do we have to forgive? Well, because we're people. We're imperfect. It's okay. But if somebody could bridle the tongue, if I could get a hold of this thing, you would be perfect. Wow. That word perfect means complete, really. That's what the translation means. Imagine a perfect tongue world. Imagine what that would look like. Imagine a world of encouragement and environment. Imagine your families always building each other up. Imagine your workplace. Imagine the positive environment always flowing. Imagine the letters that you'd get from your friends. Imagine the emails and the texts. Imagine social media being full of encouragement, which it always is. You know, imagine nobody slandering anybody ever. Imagine just the words that come out of your mouth being complete and being holy and awesome. That's what it goes on to say in the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another. That's what the tongue is supposed to be for, encouraging and building up. Ephesians 4 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that's good for edification. That means building up according to the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Can you imagine a world like this? Can you imagine your workplace walking into the lunchroom? Can you imagine the office? Can you imagine your mom or your dad or your siblings always giving work? Colossians 4 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so you should know how to respond to each person. Can you imagine that? That's what James is talking about. That we would bridle this tongue, it would create such a harmonious and beautiful world. But we know that we probably live in a world that's not quite there, right? And you can probably think of a context that you're in that you think, oh, if I go into that, they're just going to slam me. I'm going to get hammered this morning. And it creates all kinds of problems. So James goes on in verse 3. He says, now, but if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Picture of a horse. You ridden a horse? Miss Bethany. She's gone. You're a horse rider. Yeah. You know, I know I've ridden a horse twice. Different horses. I rode one in Queensland on the beach. And I know that I learned how to steer. I say, how do you steer this thing? I say, you just pull it like that. It's real easy. And the horse goes that way. But there's this tiny little thing. It's about that big. And you stick it in there and you can steer this thing. It's amazing. It's big. How big is a horse? You know, how big does it weigh? 2 ton? Half a ton? I can tell I'm not a horse person. But I'm a ship person. The next thing, you know, says, It says, look at the ships. They are so great and are driven by strong winds. They are directed by a small rudder. Now, James is talking about ships back, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's nothing like the cruise ships. Have you been on one of those things? And have you seen how they steer them? I did. We went on this thing. And we could ship. Well, not a horse. And a horse. I'm not. No, but I've been on a boat twice. Two different boats. But the way that they steer this ship is with a joystick. Remind me of the Atari days from my youth. It literally is. It's this big. And they're on the edge of this big bridge docking this thing with a joystick. Look at this entire thing, which is more than a few ton, I'm sure. I don't know how many ton. Is being birthed by this joystick. Like that's what James is saying about the tongue. It's so small, and yet it can do so much. It can bring death or life, says Proverbs. The tongue can bring death or life. How you use this thing can bring death or life to those who hear you. He goes on in verse 5. He says, it's a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set amongst our members so that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life. And set on fire by hell. That's strong language. Saying that the tongue is able to completely ruin people. And if we let it, it will completely ruin us. If we don't bridle our tongue and give it a sense of control so that we honor people and bless people with that, James is saying it can actually completely destroy us. He says, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed or has been tamed by the human race. Now that's a big call. Crocodiles. So we can tame a crocodile or tame a hippopotamus. I think that's supposed to be the most dangerous animal in the world. Apparently. You know. Can you think of an animal that we haven't tamed yet? You know, put in a cage or a zoo. James is saying it like we've done all that, but we can't tame this thing here. It would be easier to tame a big saltwater croc than to put a bridle and tame your tongue. And he goes on, he says, verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, as this should not be. That same mouth that we sing praises to God with, like just beautifully just here, is the same mouth that maybe encountered the car park miracle. Have you ever had a car park miracle? All right, it doesn't happen anymore because we drive separately to church. But I remember in the days when we lived in Sydney, and we'd go to church with three small children. And getting to church is hard when you've got small children, isn't it? It's hard getting out the door. Someone's going to lose it. I mean the kids. Someone's going to need a nappy change at the last minute. Someone's going to not want to get in the car or put the seatbelt. Like this, it's hard work, isn't it? And so you get to church or halfway to church and you're running late and you're going to have to walk in the front door because the door's at the front of the church. And you get there or you get almost there And like there's tension. And you might have said a few things that maybe you shouldn't have said. But you get to the car park. Hi. How are you? So good to see you. It's a great morning, isn't it? It's the car park miracle. You see? Who's guilty of the car park miracle? How's your day? Fantastic. Oh, good to be alive. Isn't it a beautiful day? See, the same tongue that blesses Lord and sings praises is just probably lost with the kid in the back or husband or your wife or your friend or whoever it is that's with you. So why does it happen? You know, how come we say the things that we say? How come? And I think there's four things I thought about. There's frustration. It's frustration at ourselves or our situation that can really let this thing loose. A sense of outbursts of anger at what's going on. That can be a cause. It's anxiety. Anxiety is anxious things, and that can cause us to either withdraw or go over the top, you know. Anxiety causes different things to different people. Insecurities cause all kinds of things to come out of our tongue. You know, overly cautious about what we say. We don't say things, or we say the wrong things. You ever been in a pressure moment where you've met an important person and there's hello? You go, idiot, you know, just need to say hello. Those insecurities cause us to use our tongue the wrong way. We say the wrong things. You get unforgiveness. You know, we're almost grudge against somebody. You know, if I see that person once more, you know. And so these things go on inside us when we have unforgiveness. We haven't dealt with them. Can you see that these things are an issue of the heart? It's actually not the tongue's fault. Don't blame your tongue. It's the heart of the matter. Heal the heart, fix the tongue. If you're finding that your tongue is out of control, look deeper down. It's a condition of the heart. And that's why Proverbs 4 says to watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the springs of life. From here flow the right things, the good things, or the things that are boiling around here. They will come out, whatever's in your heart. It will make an effect. It's the heart of the problem. So James goes on. He talks about this in verse 11. He says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? The same stream, the same spring. That do you have two types of water coming out? Or is it just one? Can a fig tree produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? No, it's a rhetorical question. Of course it can't. So the one heart can only produce one kind of fruit. It's your heart that's to blame. So the question is, how do I fix my heart? We might say things and regret things and put ourselves in context where wish I didn't say that. Because words have power, death and life and the power of the tongue. And sometimes the things, it could be a sentence or a few words that you say could completely destroy a relationship. You could lose it with somebody and cut that person off for life. This is high stakes. You could say something in a critical moment that just completely cuts a person down. So how do you change what's going on down here? And that's why I love the gospel. The gospel is completely honest. I mean, nothing else works, let me tell you. You could try harder. You ever done that? Oh, today, when I meet that person, I'm just going to try harder. Hi! But it seems really fake, doesn't it? Like, there's got to be something more than just trying harder. You could just hope that it heals itself. You know that saying that time is a great healer? I don't think it's true. I see people brewing on things. I meet people in their 60s and 70s when something's happened in their 20s and 30s. And I know families who don't talk to each other, like brothers and sisters, because of something that went on way back there. What a tragedy. Time does not heal. Time either makes people cynical or it can just callous over the heart. You could blame somebody else. That could be a way we do very well. It's the victim mentality. Well, she did it to me way back then, so therefore I can't. And so we place our problems on what somebody else did. But really how we could change is the gospel. It could radically transform the tongue because it radically transforms your heart. Three things happen when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Firstly, you get a new view of people. You cannot be in the presence of God and hate the person next to you. It just doesn't work like that. You start to see, I honestly think that people are the most beautiful they are in church on a Sunday, worshiping God. You ever notice that? Like I get to see. It's fantastic. I get to see people in worship. It's the most people praying. See little kids praying. There's nothing more beautiful than watching someone pray or worship God. You know, it's like the wrinkles wear off and the gray hair goes and, you know, the black eye, whatever I did yesterday. Hit myself with that thing, a pair of pliers. Another story. But, you know, you could feel very self-conscious. It hurt. But people are the most beautiful because you cannot be in the presence of God and get annoyed or frustrated with people because we treat people as God sees them. And we view people. So that's what happens. The second thing is we come to terms with our own fallenness, our own problems. We come to see ourselves as the problem and not the other person. But then we're not left, and here's the good thing, the third thing, is that we see that God gives us the desire and the way out. See, the Bible doesn't just leave us slammed. Oh, I'll never make it. Because, yeah, you'll never make it. But there's hope. I love the hope that comes when you can never make it. You with me? Because if there was an inkling or something that I could do to make it happen, then I'd do it. But then when I fail, I'd be completely undone. But if I can go, God, I cannot love that person. You can. Can you help me? Straight away, the Holy Spirit goes, right. And it might take a while. It might take small steps. But you will find the presence of God helps you in healing. I love the gospel. Ezekiel 36 talks about getting a new heart, new spirit. And suddenly we want to do these things. So when you come and you ask God to help you in your heart, it actually starts to transform not only your heart, but then the overflow that it produces. This is an express message. But I want to leave some time to pray because this is where it's at. If you're here this morning and you're feeling anxious or there's an issue of the tongue or an issue of the heart, everything could change for you this morning. Everything. Everything could be reset. The Holy Spirit could give you a brand new heart. He could give you help. All we've got to do is say the word, Lord, help me with this situation or that context or this person that I can't even face. We've all got people in our world. Perhaps they've hurt you a great deal. Perhaps they've done things and said things, and in your heart you're going, oh, that hurts, and it does hurt. But the Bible leaves us with no excuse that there is a way out. It's not to ignore or forgive or just hope that it goes away, but it is to deal with it in the heart level. So let's just take a moment. Just would you close your eyes for a moment while we just pray into this? I want you to picture yourself with a brand new heart and therefore a new tongue. In Acts 3:19, it says to repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's saying that sometimes the best way to deal with it, the only way to deal with it, is just to say sorry. Maybe just in your heart this morning. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've treated that person. Sorry for the way I view that person. I'm sorry for holding grudges or getting things that don't quite work inside of me. Just simply saying sorry, that's repenting. And asking God to help you change. Promises here in Acts 3:19 that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, we need his presence. This morning, I ask Holy Spirit for your presence to come, to heal, to renew, to reset our hearts, to forgive us for holding out against people and therefore causing our tongue to be a flame of fire when it really should be a blessing to other people. Lord God, come right now. Every person who's just going, please help. Please help my heart to help my tongue. Come, Holy Spirit, with your great presence. Right now. Right now. And the other scripture that I want to read is from John 7:38. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's your destiny. That is the vision that we started with, isn't it? It's the picture of a group of people. It's like the church where everybody's got living water for each other. It means full of encouragement, full of fun, full of life, full of healing, that the words that you say will be like living water, refreshing, full of energy, full of hope, full of faith, full of love. That the words that come out of your mouth, they're going to be life-giving words. Jesus, I want you to picture that, walking into that context, which at the moment is even toxic. But the words that are going to flow out of you are life-giving because there's a life-giving source inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Picture that. Ask for that. It's going to be different. Your tongue is going to be healed from the inside.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your blood.